It is the afternoon's program. We're still in grand final week, aren't we? Are we? I think we are. Oh, breaking news coming out of the National Rugby League. It's a sellout. So it is huge, isn't it? The Battle of the West, whatever you want to call it. The NRL Grand Final is officially a sellout as of just now. So we've had to wait late in weeks at different stages before we can officially call it a sellout. So all those people who keep contacting me, wanting to get tickets, et cetera, and want a deep discount, forget about it. All right, you're paying full freight, maybe even more than that. G'day, afternooners. Thanks for tuning in, however you are listening. SEN welcomes you to our very broad house of worship. If you're north of the border, half your luck, you're up there in Queensland. You're listening via SENQ, 693 AM. SEN Gold Coast, 1620 AM. SEN Sydney, 1170 AM. Download the app. That's the best way to go about it. Great prizes to give away again today. The $100 cash, all thanks to Top Sport. The Ream Budgie Smugglers. Remember the logos on there? Ream comes on steady, hot and strong. And the Sounds of the Game is there with a $50 Victor Sports voucher. So all that to give away during the course of the next 3 hours. Massive show coming up, quite obviously. Matty Bungard from Wide World of Sports. He's been out and about in this grand final week, so we'll find out how he's getting on. We've had a time change over there in New Zealand, so that means if we want to speak to Staffy and the crew, and we don't really want to, but we have to, we're obligated to do it contractually. But anyway, no, he's a good fella. I won't say that. Staffy's going to be along for a chat. John Cartwright. Now, a key member of that 1991 premiership winning side, the inaugural premiership winning side for the Penrith Panthers, been in the news as well. We'll get an update on that. Dave Riccio having something in the Daily Telegraph today. We'll have Afternoons Amplified by you-know-who, who is still on a sabbatical down in Melbourne. But anyway, we might get to the bottom of that, just exactly. Well, he's going to give us a score update as well. We're going to dive into the text line a whole heap today. We've got the analyst on, which is good. We'll have to get a prediction from him for the game. Sounds of the Game. The text line again for SBS fans. Tristan Merlihan, see if there's been a change in the market. There might be some question marks around who's in and who's out with both these sides. The 12 o'clock, the 1 o'clock and the 2 o'clock flock all in action today. So let's get stuck into it. It is quite incredible, isn't it, Mitchell Moses? I can't leave these boys. That's what he said to Coach Brad Arthur, as reported by the Sydney Morning Herald's Adam Pengilly. This was the 24 hours before the game, and then he got to see his daughter's birth via FaceTime. Not the first time we've seen that from sporting people, but it's quite incredible, isn't it, this day and age that you get that. He addressed all the boys in the shed, said, look, I've had the baby over FaceTime, very special moment, and absolutely so. So it was a massive week last week, emotionally, for Mitchell Moses. The passing of his grandmother, the birth of his first child into a grand final. It's all going to be quite mundane for him this week, I would have thought. Here's Graham Annesley yesterday, though, talking about that pass from Friday night.
This thing looks messy, and I'm prepared to concede that on balance and on review that the pass out of the hands was forward. The rule, as the rule always has been, is about how the ball leaves the hands. And I acknowledge that based on what I can see in this and what we've looked at this morning, we think it comes out of his hands forward. I'm standing here as saying it's forward pass, but it's not the howler that it's been made out to be. And my job's to try and put some balance and some perspective into some of these things.
Okay, and he's doing that yesterday, Graham Annesley. So was it a forward pass? I said on the program, yes, it was forward. But I love the way that Todd Payton addressed it after the game and said, yep, but we had our opportunity beyond that. They led by 8 with 25 to go. Couldn't get it done. It has just been announced who will be the referees for this week's grand final as well. So I don't know, Panthers fans. I don't know, Parramatta fans. Ashley Klein is the referee. Grant Atkins will be the senior review official. Phil Henderson and Drew Ultram. So Dave Munro, who missed the forward pass, standing right in line with it last week, he misses out. And well done to Casey Badger, who will referee the NRLW game as well. But I spoke yesterday about a couple of those disallowed tries that were given against Penrith in that game against the South Sydney Rabbitohs. So I'm looking at that and I'm saying, yep, okay, I can understand why. I can understand why. And then we get this from Graham Annesley yesterday.
Well, clearly because Luai changes direction, they're heading initially in the same direction that he's heading in. So they're coming across in cover. He jumps, steps off his right foot. So that's the direction he's heading in. They're heading over in the same direction. And then because he cuts back, whether Fisher-Harris is here or not, these defenders have got to change direction because Luai's decided now to come back the other way. So they're clearly heading in the wrong direction here, and they've got to change direction and come back. There's no physical obstruction. In fact, if anything, they kind of springboard almost or lever off Fisher-Harris to change direction. So in my view, this should not have been called an obstruction.
My head's hurting. I thought that was the right decision. I didn't like the decision. I think the rules needed amendment. But I thought, well, it's actually the right decision the way the game exists at the moment, rightly or wrongly. And now Graham Annesley has come out and said, no, it should have been a try. And I'm like, oh. You know, I watch, let's call it 7 of 8 games every weekend, and now I'm really confused. So it's, anyway, we won't get bogged down in that. What we will talk about is selections. I want to know. Parramatta fan. There's apparently going to be a selection bombshell. So Bryce Cartwright potentially missing out. Nathan Brown, first game in 3 months. What on earth is going on here? Why does Nathan Brown get called in now? Why now? Okay, Opacek out. Murata Niokora into the centres. What are you going to do with Bailey Simonson? Do you need that extra big body on the bench? Okay, it comes at the expense of Bryce Cartwright. So the guy who got 14 minutes last week is going to make way, and the guy who got 0 minutes last week is going to stay there in Jacob Arthur. I don't know. It's you know, my point yesterday, and I said it again today, my point is that the week is, and one of the listeners, I forget who it was, but one of the listeners made a really good point, and that is playing the game during the course of the week and they're done by Friday, you know, and they've got nothing left on Sunday. That's the concern for the Parramatta Eels. So someone who's been there and done that, Paul Gallen, let's have a listen to him on 100% footy last night.
Yeah, well, you know what Parramatta have to do? They have to embrace it. They have to enjoy it. They have to want it. You can't see it as a burden. You can't. You got to want to be on the rugby league, and you got to want the ball. You got to want to win. And just as Parramatta, these Parramatta players can't see it as a burden in my eyes. They got to want to get it done. They got to want to just be the next best thing, which is what they will be if they win this competition. They'll be absolute superstars forever and ever. Create a legacy for themselves that will never go away. But they've got to want it. They got to want to embrace the day. They got to want to embrace the win.
Absolutely. From someone who has been there, Paul Gallen, talking about that and saying, nothing is a burden. Oh, guess what? We get to go to this luncheon. Isn't that exciting? We get to have this fan day. Isn't that exciting? Wonga Blake, he knows what's coming. The data's out. Only Brian Toll ranks as a weaker bomb diffuser in the National Rugby League for those players who've taken more than 10 attempts. But here's the other thing, and this is, I know I'm saying it on the day that we have our man, the analyst, on. Oh, beep, 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 beep. But how many of those that are caught or indeed dropped are floating bombs? Like, that's the thing. No one, I won't say no one, Matty Burton, shout out to you. Not many kick those floating bombs. Adam Dewey's another one. Like Nathan, certainly not with the accuracy of Nathan. And that's the other thing that doesn't come through in that data. So is the floating bomb coming for Wonga Blake? What if he's in the centres? Well, the floating bomb coming for Bailey Simonson, I don't know whether Parramatta fans will be any more confident. And it's all coming off the boot of you-know-who. Let's have a listen to Cooper Cronk on the development of Nathan Cleary.
Streets ahead of me. I think he's got the physical skills, the kicking game, the passing game, but the maturity and the composure, the temperament in big moments is a huge thing. You know, I think the fact that he studies the opposition within an inch of his life, he's got the skills to back it up, the execution, but then, as I said, just the ability to galvanise his team and come up with a big play. I think, there's no real ceiling on what Nathan can do. Right now, I absolutely agree. He's one of the best players, and trajectory-wise, he could just about achieve anything.
Read from Scotty, that audio courtesy of Fox, read from Scotty Sattler that if they're setting up a table with the greatest halfbacks in the history of the game, then Nathan's going to get an invitation to that. So when you, I don't know how big the table is. I don't know whether it's a little six-seater or dinner for two. I don't know. Might be the big Gothic, you know, you can fit 28 around it. But he says that Nathan is in the conversation. He's clearly going to be selected in Mal Meninga's Australian squad. Afterwards, everyone's picking their Australian squad. Some of them are straightforward. Others you have to have a bit of a guess around. Samoan Rugby League have released their team. Wow. Josh Alawai, Fa'amanu Brown, Stephen Crichton, Matt Fionai, Braden Hamlin-Ueli, Chanel Harris-Tavita, Royce Hunt, Oregon Kafusi, Luciano Leilua, Spencer Leinu, Danny Levi, Jerome Luai, Taylan May, Tyrone May, Anthony Milford, Josh Papalihi, Junior Barlow, Jaden Sua, Joseph Swalihi, Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, Isaac Tungo, Marty Tapau, Brian To'o, and Kelma Tuolangi. Wow. That first game, I think there's 32,000 tickets sold for a 52,000-seat stadium, St James Park, October 15, first game against England. So that is an incredible squad. Matt Parrish, the coach. It's going to be very interesting to see how that is going to be shaped. Can't wait for the Australian squad to be announced as well. NRL schedule, we've got the Sydney Morning Herald talking about this one. They're looking at next year having a couple less Friday 6 p.m. kickoff games, and, of course, they rate pretty well for Fox Sports, and then they roll into their next coverage of the 8 o'clock game on a Friday. So that's something to be considered. But they want to push it back to Sunday night. Sunday night's been very popular with the viewing public and more popular with those who attend the game live. So that's the other one. The clubs always complain about, oh, how do you get them in the stadium? You know, you put it on at Friday at 6 a.m, especially in a Sydney venue, then it's really hard to get people to go there at 6 o'clock from whatever work commitment they have. This is where the error has come, in my opinion. And I know there's costs associated with it, and I know they do it on other occasions, but the Friday 6 p.m. game just works in regional areas, doesn't it? Wouldn't you love to see the great crowds where 10,000 or 12,000 is a maximum? But if you want to take a game to a regional area, then that is the game that you take it to. I think there's a real option around that. Away from the rugby league this week, hard to get away from the rugby league this week, Clive Palmer and Greg Norman are going to join forces to bring LIV Golf to Australia. Wow, just when you thought they couldn't get any more unpopular, Clive gets involved. Royal Sydney's knocked them back, but apparently the Hyatt Coolum, where he spent $120 million, he wants to have a bit of the action there. And Eddie Jones is going to take inspiration from the manhunt of Osama bin Laden, as he hopes to equip England for the most volatile rugby environment we've ever seen. He spent the last couple of days with the Navy SEALs in San Diego to glean a better understanding of helping players. Apparently the intensity of the camp was incredible. It pushed people to their limits and beyond, but in the end it proved too much. And tired and broken, the camp was disbanded. It would seem that the Navy SEALs just couldn't take any more from Eddie Jones. Unconfirmed at that point, but that are the reports that are coming through. 1300 01 1170, the text line 0457 736 736. Before we get to our break, it's Tuesday. So I know we don't have Team List Tuesday, the final one for this season, but we have List Tuesday. So our top three individual moments in a grand final. So not team performances, not performances over the length of the game, but individual moments in a grand final. So you've got to go 3, 2, 1, 3, Scotty Sattler's tackle. All right, Scotty Sattler's tackle is number three. Number two, Albert. Albert will score. So Darren Albert scores the try to win Newcastle the grand final in 1997. And this one of the great grand finals of all time, if not the greatest, is my number one. What a try. What a rugby league try in a grand final. Wow. How good was that? Sirenan charging. They won't stop him up the middle. Unfortunately, didn't quite play out for Balmain fans like they would have, like Canberra Raiders winning their very first premiership in a classic grand final, 1989. So that's what we want. This Tuesday, the top three individual moments in a grand final. Lots of prizes associated with that. We've got to get ourselves to a break. After the break, we're back. We're talking news of the day. We do that with Matty Bungard from Wide World of Sports. Stick around.
If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to tune in from midday, Monday to Thursday, till 3 p.m. on 1170 SEN.